After understanding this issue mechanism, you will come to, you are interested to know that what are the benefits which are accruing from this ACO. Let us consider that also. If you transact through the ACO, there will be appreciable saving of liquid foreign exchange reserve for some of the member countries derived from the multilateral settlement of net position of the claims arising over a period of time. Okay, that is one. Second, reduction in the working balance, which includes the short-term borrowing in the foreign exchange and the banks in the member countries so long needed to maintain a London and or a New York for the settlement of intra-regional transaction in pound sterling or US dollars. Another benefit accruing out of it is the elimination of the need for the double conversion of the currency and thereby savings the cost of the transaction and the cost of settlement, and finally the curtailment, that is reduction of the time which is needed before the settlement of the transaction by avoiding or elimination of the intermediary correspondent in London or New York. These are some of the benefits accruing out of ACO. Having understood this ACO, we will move to another topic, that is Most Favored Nations Clause. Most Favored Nations Clause. Name itself indicates that the status or level of the treatment which is accorded by one state to another international trade, state in case of international trade. This means the country which is a recipient of this treatment must nominally receive equal trade advantage as such most favored nations by the country granting such a treatment. So one is a receiver, and second one is a treatment given, giver. So giver gives the status to the receiver as a most favored nation, considering the trade advantage which includes the low traffic, low tariff and the high import quotas. Generally, trade experts considers most favored nations clause to have some of the benefits. Country that grants the most favored nations clause on the import will have its imports provided by the most efficient supplier. Now, most favored nations clause allows the smaller countries, in particular to the participate in advantage, that the larger countries can grant their own to the smaller countries which are not so powerful a facility to negotiate the advantages by themselves. Granting the most favored nations clause category has some of the domestic benefits. One set of tariff for all the countries simplifies the rules and makes them the more transparent. Most favored nations clause restrains the domestic social interest from obtaining the protectionist measure, means the industries in that country will be protected by giving the sanction for most favored nation, protecting their own interest, and come up with the level up to which the other country gives them the facility or services or benefits of most favored nations. There are several countries analysis have been given here, which is from the academic point of view. It is not so important as such, but there are many protocol that CBDT, that is Central Board of Direct Taxes, then India Double Taxation Avoidance Agreements. These are entered with the few countries like Netherlands, France, Switzerland, or Sweden, Spain, Hungary, etc., and to obtain and the provision referred as a most favored nations clause. General provision is that the signature or entry into the force of DTAA, that is domestic tariff area allowances, with first state India enters into an agreement with OECD member states when India limits its source of taxation and all other relationship to certain items of the income which is derived from the dividend, interest income, royalty, fees, technical services, etc. Okay, to rate the lower of the scope and more restricted than the provided for those items if income in DTAA with the first state such a beneficial statement should also be extended to the first state. These are the content of some of the agreement, DTAA agreement with OECD member countries that entered into by India with them. Okay. And this is how exactly it is narrated. There is nothing much to discuss about that. From the academic point of view, you can very well go through these one or two slides. Now, let us move towards the European Currency Unit. European Currency Unit. That is, Europe, the currency unit of Euro, how it has come up. European Currency Unit was nothing but it was a basket of the currencies of the Europe community members and their states. Okay. The exchange rate, European exchange rate mechanism, attempted to minimize the fluctuation between member state and the currencies and the ECU. It is not ACU, it is ECU, European Currency Unit. Earlier it was Asian Clearing Union. Here, European Currency Unit. This unit was also used in some international financial transactions where it was advantage was that the securities denominated in ECU provided investors with the opportunity for the foreign diversification without reliance on the currency of the single country. Therefore, the ECU was conceived on 13th March 1979 as an internal accounting unit, and it had ISO 4217 currency code. European Currency Unit on 1st January 1999, the euro with the code euro and symbol as mentioned in this slide replaced the European Community, European Currency Unit at the value of 1 euro is equal to 1 European Currency Unit. Unlike the ECU, the euro is also a real currency, although not all the member states are participating. two of the countries like UK and Denmark, they did not join. One country joined later, that is Greece. On the other hand, Finland, Australia and Eurozone, they joined Eurozone from the beginning, although their currencies were not part of the ECU basket. Okay, there are so many issues happened in between this. In stage 3 of the Economic and Monetary Union, begin at January 1, 1999, with the introduction of the euro, which replaces the European currency unit into euro in the ratio of 1:1. On the date, the national currency of 11 European Unity members, that is Belgium, Germany, Netherlands, these are the countries, around 11 countries, came together and they formed, they agreed for the irrevocable conversion rate. Greece joined them subsequently, as I said earlier. From 1st January 2007, some other countries like Slovenia, then Cyprus, Malta, they also joined, and thereafter, and finally, Estonia joined on 2011, and the current total number of member of European Union is 17 countries, member countries joined, and all the European currency unit which they accepted is euro. Okay, this is about the euro. Now we have seen ECU mechanism, European currency unit and euro also we have discussed. Now we are coming to the stage to understand regarding the LIBOR and its recent development. Very historically, LIBOR is considered as base currency so as to quote the rate of interest on foreign currencies which are traded in the international market. LIBOR, as name indicates, that London Interbank Offer Rate, and based on this rate, the all other currencies rate will be determined. The Reserve Bank of India in August D, all of a sudden have requested all the banks in India to frame their board approved plan, which outlining the assessment of the exposure which is linked to the London Interbank Offer Rate, that is LIBOR, and the steps to be taken to address the risk which is arising out from the cessation of the LIBOR, including preparation for the adoption of alternative reference rate or appropriate reference rate. Okay, now replacement of the LIBOR. Financial Conduct Authority, that is FCA UK, has announced on March 5, 2021 that LIBOR will be either ceased to be provided by any administrator or no longer be representative rate. So this FCA authority, they first came out and they says no one can use the LIBOR as a base rate. Okay, then what is next? Immediately after December 31, 2021, in case of all the pound sterling, euro, Swiss franc and Japanese yen setting, and the 1 week and 2 week months US dollar setting, and immediately after June 30, 2023, which is yet to come, immediately after June 30, 2023, in case of remaining US dollar settling, this should be the, for them, no longer the LIBOR will be made as a reference rate. Now, with the objective of orderly, safe and sound LIBOR transformation, considering the customer protection, Okay. Banks and financial institutions, definitely they have to come out with the solution, and they have to enter into new financial contract with reference to the LIBOR as a benchmark. Instead, use any widely acceptable ARR, that is alternative reference rate. If you cannot use the LIBOR as a base rate, then somehow some other rate you have to mention, correct? So under these circumstances, banks have been directed to find out practicable, in any case, by December 31, 2021, come out with the alternative or appropriate reference rate. While certain US dollar LIBOR setting will continue to be published till June 30, 2023, the extension of the timeline for the cessation of the primary end at ensuring roll off USD LIBOR linked legacy contract and not to encourage the continued reliance of the LIBOR. It means from up to June 2023, whatever in earlier transaction you taken LIBOR as a base rate and accordingly you are charging to your financial transactions, that will continue to the published 2 months, 3 months, 6 months LIBOR or 1 year LIBOR. That will be continued to update, but continue to be published. But you cannot use that having made known to you. You should have found out the another alternative reference rate, but not to use fresh new as a LIBOR, USD LIBOR rates. That was the direction from the Reserve Bank of India. Therefore, it is expected the contract which are referring to the LIBOR may generally be undertaken after December 2021 only for the purpose of managing the risk arising out of LIBOR contracts. For example, hedging contract, novation, market making in support of the client activity, etc. Contracted on or before December 31, 2021. Okay, thereafter you cannot use the LIBOR. Banks and financial institutions are incorporating or finding out certain other reference rate in lieu of LIBOR setting. So, contract which are entered into before 31 December 2021 with reference to the LIBOR and maturity of which is after the date on which the LIBOR ceased to become a non-representative, including a fan fallback clauses. Okay, for them, standard fallback clause, which is developed for this purpose by the various agencies, such as International Swaps and Derivative Association, that is ISDA, then Indian Banks Association, Loan Markets Association, Asia Pacific Loan Makers, Loan Markets, Bankers Association, Financial Trade, they start thinking on this. And banks are also encouraged by Reserve Bank of India to cease to using the Mumbai Interbank Forward Outright, that is MIFOR, published by the Financial Benchmark India Private Limited, that is FBIL, which references the LIBOR as soon as the practicable and any event by December 31, 2008. Up till now, MIFOR rate was used for the domestic transaction, but it has an element for publishing it as a LIBOR. When LIBOR is not at all there, how the MIFOR will come into the picture? Therefore, up to December 31, 2021, it has been permitted. Thereafter, the Financial Benchmarks India Private Limited, that is FBIL, has stated and started publishing the daily MIFOR rates from June 15, 2021 and modified MIFOR rates from June 30, 2021, which can be used for the legacy contracts and fresh contracts respectively. Banks may trade into MIFOR. Sorry. After December 31, 2021. Now, to execute and support the risk management and activities such as hedging or central counterparty procedures, which include transaction of the hedging, the consequent to the MIFOR replacement or exposure, market making support of the client activities of novation of MIFOR transactions in respect of the transaction executed on or before December 31, 2021. The moral of the story is, wherever the LIBOR is linked to the domestic rate, domestic currency, for appropriate rate, that should be discontinued with effect from December 31, 2021. Therefore, LIBOR exposure and put and the framework which is prepared to mitigate the risk arising out of from this kind of detachment of the LIBOR, there is a requirement of the valuation to be done for the contractual clauses. That means in contract, whatever clauses are mentioned relating to rate of interest, which is based on the LIBOR based base rate. They also have to put the necessary instruction to be able to offer to the product for products referring to the alternate reference rate. Continued efforts to the sensitize the clients about the transitions, this transition, very big transition, well as methodology and conversion of the changes or convention of the changes involved in the alternative to the LIBOR will be critical in this context. RBI will, Reserve Bank of India, continue to monitor the evolving the global and the domestic situation regarding the transaction or transition away from the LIBOR and proactively take steps as necessary to mitigate the associated risk in order to ensure the smooth transition. Regardless that aiming to absorb the potential tremor in the financial market and its participants, which may eliminate from the discontinuation of the publication of the LIBOR. Trading on these footprints, RBI announced a revision of all-in cost ceiling, external commercial borrowing, that is ECB, and trade credits, that is TCs. The revision has been announced for the new and existing foreign currency ECB and TCs. As referred above, RBI will also on December 8, 2021 released notification to align and amend the existing ECB and TC framework under the master direction dated 26th March 2019. Redefining the benchmark rates. Instead of the 6 months LIBOR or interbank, which currently we used to, benchmark rate would now refer to any widely acceptable interbank rate or ARR, alternate reference rate, of 6 months tenor applicable to the currency of borrowing. In respect of change in all-in cost ceiling, which is normally given for ECB and trade credits, RBI has stipulated all-in cost ceiling for the existing ECB and TC can be raised by 50 basis point and to make it 500 basis point and 300 basis point respectively over the benchmark rates. One-time adjustment of the existing ECB and TCs has received all-in cost by undertaking increase in 50 basis point so as to make it 100 basis point, 550 in case in respect of ECB and 350 basis point in respect of the trade credits. There is no change in the benchmark rate in case of rupee denominated ECB and TCs, which continue to be linked to the prevailing yield of the Government of India securities, and all-in cost ceiling for the rupee denominated ECB and the trade credits has been maintained at 450 basis point above the benchmark rates. With this, we have concluded chapter 3, which covers ACU, that is Asian Clearing Union, European Clearing Union, European Monetary Union, Euro, and also what happened to the LIBOR. For better understanding of this complex nature of regulatory changes, I request all of you to please read the chapter in the book which is made available to you also. So thank you very much.